Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Conversations About Light. I am joined here with Steve and Charlotte. How are we going, guys?
Hello, good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, doing well. It's good to see you, Caleb.
Yeah, you too. So we're carrying on through the series Gospel Living, making our way through the book of James. How have you guys been enjoying it?
Yeah, it's been great. Obviously, it's an exciting time for myself, having to have preached already and being here and having to do it again soon. So looking forward to that opportunity and experiencing the grace of this conversation and the power of the word. So it's been a wonderful time for me.
Awesome. Love it. And yeah, it's been great having you a part of the eldership team as well. So the church is in very great hands with the three elders.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So before we jump into it, I thought I should ask you guys a question because that's just what I do.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting this.
You were?
Yeah.
What did
you've listened.
Yeah, you've listened. What should I ask you, Charlotte?
No, I was just expecting the question.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, a question I asked Jib and Tripti either last week or the week before was if you could live either 200 years in the future or 200 years in the past, what would it be and why? I'm doing a social experiment here.
Yes, that's what, early 1800s. Are we in the same time and place?
You're in Charlotte? You could be, yeah. Oh, you mean like Perth, like, Australia?
Yeah, more place. The time's the variable, we established that.
Yeah, I mean, you could pick your place, I suppose.
Probably I'd choose the past.
Why?
Because I think technology is making people weird.
Right.
I realize we're on a podcast right now. Probably people are listening on their phones. But like everyone's very anxious and people don't really make eye contact. And I'd just kind of love to go to a time when maybe it wasn't so weird to just like strike up a conversation with a stranger.
Yeah. I like that.
And like have that free brain space to like look at stuff and be observant and maybe, just wonder and think.
Yeah. I could imagine that adults kept their imagination much longer 200 years ago.
So would you go back as well?
Yeah, I would.
That's so sweet. You guys would be together.
Naturally.
Well, you guys pretty much ruined my social experiment because I theorize that people are more likely to want to go to the future, but it's because we're hopeful that the future will get better than what the past is. But you pretty much flipped that on its head saying, I think for these reasons, the past, like there's a lot of benefit in the past. And I think that is a helpful thing to have in your mind that, hey, the future's not always going to be better. It's not like this progression of well-being.
But yeah. And it might be just the realization of the chaoticness of today.
And right. It's like,
I just want to know what it's going to be like.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
It's like I'm tired of it, just being surprised all the time.
Exactly.
But we'll all be surprised when Jesus comes back.
Brilliant. So. Well, we are going to dive into today's reading, and Charlotte, I believe you're going to read for us, which is amazing.
Yeah. So we're reading from the book of James, obviously, with chapter 1, verse 19 to 21, and reading the CSB. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and all the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls.
So what's some things that sort of jump out to you, what you're noticing in the text?
Yeah, I think everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. firstly, it definitely jumps out to me because it's precisely what I'm not like. But really can see the attractiveness of it pretty immediately. So I guess sometimes you might read a passage or hear some advice and need to be a little bit convinced of why that's a good thing or why you should aspire towards something. But this just seems so evident, like so self-evident. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to anger. If everyone did that, it'd probably be a much easier place to kind of get along, understand people better, understand God's word better if we were really focused on listening to it.
What does that look like, listening to God's word?
Well, if you're absorbing it, you're taking it in, you're reading it and actually thinking, not just like scanning past the words, but you're absorbing them.
Yeah, and it highlights humility to receive the word. And obviously that's a disposition that's opposite to arrogance or presumptive. Are you going to the word of God to accuse him or determine, you know, are you good or not? Or are you going to meet with him and receive what he's given you?
That's brilliant. And in terms of, like, it's interesting how it says slow to speak and slow to anger. So in a sense, it's like you still need to speak and there's still a place for anger, but there's not a heavy emphasis on you don't need to rush into that. Yeah. What's, like, I don't know exactly what that means, but what's your thoughts on being slow to speak and slow to anger?
Well, the risk of being quick to speak, I'll just present my thoughts.
You just jumped straight in there. Not joking.
But there's definitely been times where, like, especially as somebody who is not super comfortable with silence, I do sometimes just speak way too quickly. I don't let people finish a thought, or maybe there feels like there's awkwardness and I'll jump in real quick or add my own explainer or my own two cents.
Very good.
Yeah, which is, you know, not always helpful.
Yeah. I think in the same way, like, if you're quick to anger, you're not giving someone an opportunity to, like, you're not getting the full story. So if we're quick to anger, or if I'm quick to anger, I'm probably going to end up looking really foolish because I've just jumped on what I thought was happening and not actually taken the time to listen and see a bigger picture of, like, there's deeper issues going on. And yeah, what's your thoughts, Steve?
Yeah, it seems to be implying that it holds you back from receiving the word. And yeah, that growth, because it talks about the implanted word. And so it's like we have the Holy Spirit in us, and there's a receiving that's going to go on. But if we're speaking and we get angry, then that experience is hindered. And I've definitely experienced that in my life. I went through a strange phase where before Asher was born and before we ever even talked about having kids, I just was consumed with anger about the estate of the world and just feeling angry that this is the kind of world that I had to bring a child into. And it was strange because I didn't have children, right. But it was so real, and I experienced it almost on a daily basis where I was so easily just triggered into anger. And I'm not a very angry person. I would say generally I'm slow to anger, but something was revealed in my heart and it was consuming. I just couldn't do anything else. And even reading the Bible, I would just start thinking about things and you just get angry. And that went on for about a year, but it was through the grace of God and his words, continuing to go to his word and counsel and prayer with friends and family, that it just broke. And so before Charlotte was even pregnant, I was just so confident and excited about bringing a baby into the world, not because anything in the world changed, but because I had a deeper understanding of God, and that was just such a blessing. But that's a long time, you know, a year to be angry about the same thing. So grateful to God and his word. Yeah. And the, well, you know, just him humbling me so then I could receive his word and know him and love him.
And I think that sort of captures that second part in verse 20 where it says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Mm.
So it sounds like for that year, like there wasn't in that area, the righteousness, it wasn't like I'm angry at the state of the world, but it's really pushing me towards the righteousness of God. It was like this contention between the two almost.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, it doesn't accomplish God's righteousness. There's no way I could have been a good father if I was like that. Mm. My attitude towards my son and would have been completely different if I had that anger. So I'm grateful to God that he exposed that and eliminated it.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Mm.
Yeah. Did you have a thought, Shah?
I guess just the relationship between verse 20 and 21 there. So human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. And then in verse 21 it says, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So yeah, I know being angry is like such a block on things. Like it just stops you from listening or thinking anything else. Like, you know, there's times when you get properly angry. It's like it's the only thing you can do. No, Stephen doesn't know. It's amazing. He's like doesn't really get angry apart from this one example, which is like news to me. But say one had a baby who kept you up all night, for instance, hypothetical example, and then you didn't get much sleep and then something else happened and then you dropped soup everywhere or whatever it was that happened that day. For instance, many people – not Stephen, would get angry. And yeah, it is. It does just become all consuming. So I'm definitely at the at those times not the person who's, you wouldn't look at me and think, whoa, I'm that person's accomplishing God's righteousness right now.
Yeah.
You'd be thinking that person's coping. They're getting by maybe.
It's so true. And it's so much easier, or I don't want to talk for everyone. I can talk for myself. It's so much easier to like, run my mouth off when I'm angry. Like, so it's like I'm not thinking or processing, I'm just talking. So it's like anger does the opposite of like you're saying, in humility you're able to like sit and listen to someone or like realize that spilling the soup isn't the end of the world and like
yeah.
But if you are, if there's like that compounding effect that it's like, oh no. Yeah.
Well, it definitely makes it hard to love. And the Bible goes on and on about the importance of love and how it will be our testimony to the world, how we love one another.
Yeah.
And even the world can look at anger and say, yeah, that's not love.
Yeah.
And so.
I think that's brilliant. I think even the whole point of the scripture, like it's irrelevant if it's not in relationship. And I think, you can really notice that we need to be able to like sit in this place because of relationship. So I wonder then how, like what is the outworking of, I'm just reading the title of hearing and doing the word, but what we've just sort of discussed in relationship.
Yeah, I think it actually kind of mentions it in here. It says, it sort of provides a contrast. So it says, therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. So that's one option. We could join in that, the evil that is so prevalent, right? Or we could humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So I think, Stephen, you were just talking about like what makes us different, like being noticeably different in the world. We don't want to be doing the thing that is evil and that is so prevalent. Like, let's do the thing that's able to save our souls and humbly receive God's word and be a witness in that way and be different.
Yeah. Or as my mom used to say, don't be so common.
Brilliant.
Yeah. When I was looking like the world, that's what she'd say.
When you don't be so common. Be different, Steve. Be better.
Your shirt doesn't even have a collar on it. so common.
Oh, I love it. So in terms of like, have you guys had any experiences like in relationship with others where you've been able to practice humbly receiving the word, and what have you noticed that do change? That do change? Mm. What have you, how have you noticed the word has changed your life? I know you gave your example of like with anger, but in terms of in relationship to others.
I think it just renews you like every day. So whether it's a specific passage or just kind of understanding more about God and how he's ordered this world and how he's placed you in it and how he has intention through all of it. Like the reason we know truths about God is because it's presented to us in his word. So perhaps, you know, the more time you spend in there, maybe that's kind of what impacts you and makes you a better person within relationships and makes you more attractive to other people. And they're like, well, you're actually nicer to be around. You don't get angry with me at the drop of a hat or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's, we talked about anger being a block, and I think, you know, oftentimes the question is like, what are we filling ourselves with? You know, and the word is something that fills us with God's grace and love and patience and kindness.
Mm.
And as we get to know God through his word, that overflows. But if we stuff ourselves with speech and anger, then we just spit out what we produce ourselves. So we want that input from God into our lives. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, we will, like you mentioned, we will say something.
Mm.
But what is it going to be? And the reality is it's going to be whatever is in it.
Right. In mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. So just in closing then, what's a reflection or an encouragement that either or both of you would want to give our community going into this next week?
Yeah, I would say the key point in this verse, or a key point, is him referring to it as the implanted word. And God has put this in our hearts. We received the Holy Spirit, and it's amazing how in the New Testament, the words is almost synonymous with the Holy Spirit, and they're kind of used interchangeably in a way. And so God has given us this gift already. And so I just pray that we can all stop trying to scratch our way out of anger and just go to prayer and the word and receive what God has given us.
And it's able to save your souls.
Amen, sister.